Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I want to talk on part of still our Believe series. Today, I'll give us an acronym for faith that will help us. And I want to talk about one or two portions of it. This is more like Sunday school material this morning. Keep it simple so that we can remember. Faith is fully and intentionally trusting him. Well, just take each one of those letters that's spelled faith, F-A-I-T-H, and you can use that to expand into fully and intentionally trusting him. Well, let's talk about fully. Fully, you know, that's the challenge that most of us have. We don't always fully believe the Lord. We believe him for some things, but we don't have the capacity to believe him for all things. Can you trust him in all things? Now, it's kind of like, well, you know, you let the Lord into the house, but certain doors in the house are closed or locked, and he can't go in there, but, you know, he can go into these other rooms, but not over here. But that's not going to work. When we give him the master key, he needs to be able to go into every part of our lives. That's not only for believing God, that's also for consecration. We need to consecrate every part of our lives to the Lord. But when it comes to faith, we find that we have faith to believe God for certain things, but we sometimes don't believe God for other things. And we need to do the same thing that the man did in Mark 9:24 that said, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. There may be certain areas. You know, some people, you know, may find it easier to believe God for protection. They believe that the angel of the Lord encamps around them, and that there no evil would befall them, you know, according to the words of, you know, Psalm 34 and verse 7. Say, the, you know, angel of the Lord encamps around those, you know, that trust the Lord. And they will watch over them, and they will deliver them from evil. Some people have faith to believe God for that, you know, but same person may not fully believe God for something else. Now, what about healing? Some people may have faith for healing, but may not have faith for provision. You may believe that the Lord said, well, I am the Lord that healeth you, and every time sickness comes in there or try to come in, you have faith, you believe God, and it works. But when it comes to God giving you a supernatural supply for finances, for instance, we may find it hard to believe. And so on and so forth. I mean, what is your own Achilles heel when it comes to believing? Where is the area that you are not fully believing in? We've got to be intentional. Praise the Lord. We're not going to leave it to chance or happenstance. There's nothing like that with faith. Faith must be intentional. So that's why we're calling it fully and intentionally trusting him. Trusting him means trusting his word. We know that God's word is his bond. And if he spoke it, then he's good for it. Hallelujah. Now, a person that can't keep their word, well, I don't know what kind of integrity they have. You know, and that falls back on us also. Make sure you keep your person of your word. If you say it, then that's it. If you say it's A, then it's A. If you say it's B, then it's B. You know, so, and that's how God is. If he says it, so it is. And we know that it is like that with him. We must be intentional about it. Don't let your mind drift. Many times our mind drifts away from being intentional. We just let things happen and then we just go with the flow. We cannot go with the flow. You got to take charge of the flow. In the book of Philippians chapter 4 verse 8, the Bible cautions us about letting our minds go with the flow. It says, look, you must direct your thinking into these things. Think on these things. You know, don't let your mind just wander around. No, grab a hold of your mind and direct it into these areas. If there be things that are honest, there be things that have virtue, if there be things that are of good report, you know, things that praise the Lord and the things that God has done, you know, and so on and so forth. He said, think on these things. You know, so we've got to direct our thoughts and not just let our thoughts just float around. If you let your thoughts float around, your mind will think about so many negative things. And you'll find plenty of reason to not believe God. But we're not going to let that happen. This year, we want everybody, the Lord wants us to be intentional in our believing Him. Not only and not partially, but fully. We have to fully believe the Lord. You know, the Bible says some of them wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, they fully and wholly followed the Lord. Some people partially, some people completely. There are many kings in the Bible. And there are some reports written at the end of their reign or their lives. And they say, well, you know, this one did well, but he was not perfect. His heart was not perfect before the Lord, or he did not fully follow the Lord, or he did not this and this and that. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a new Hebrews 11 that is being written. Your name is in there. But what are the things that are being written about you? I mean, we've read by faith such and such did such and such. By faith, you know, they subdued kingdoms even. You know, they stopped, you know, the mouth of lions. You know, they quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. They did all these things. Well, that was their testimony. What is yours? What is being written about you in the hall of faith now? You know, so let's visualize a new chapter of Hebrews 11. That's been written every year. Are you going to make it kind of like the yearbook? Are you going to make it into this year book of faith? There is one being written. Will you make it? And what will be written about you? Well, it is being written in the heavens. Remember, at the end of it all, you know, the books, plural, will be opened. And another book of life. The other book of life, that's a different one that God fixed before the world began. But the books are written as our life unfolds. What is being written about you? Well, the scripture says, well, people speak often one to another concerning the name of the Lord. And the Lord writes in a book of remembrance. You know, your acts are written in the books. The Bible says, concerning many of the acts, and the rest of his acts were written in the chronicles or the books of the kings or the books of this and that. Well, yours is being written as well. So, this year's book of faith or chapter of faith, well, or we can call it the yearbook of faith. What is being written about you? Are you going to make it? Well, not everybody makes the yearbook. Those people that make the yearbook are the people that have some, you know, significant accomplishment or highlighting something significant about their life, something worth writing about. So they make the yearbook, you know, and but we have an opportunity this year because we're just starting out to fully believe the Lord, not halfway, not believing for some things, and then we can't believe him for other things, you know. is believe him fully. But we believed the Lord last year that we're going to emerge. But some of us were slow. And then the Lord said, well, I'm going to help you this year. I'm going to give you a quantum leap. Why? You're going to believe the Lord? Well, in the quantum leap, in our experience, well, what areas of your life will you believe for the Lord to give you a quantum leap? You know, sometimes it may be this or that or that or that. You know, can we believe God for everything? That's not hold back anything. You know, don't hold back anything. You know, put it all out. You know, put it all out. Leave it all out. You know, you know, sports people said, well, leave it all out on the court. You know, don't hold anything back. Let's give our all, our faith to the Lord. You know, so if we are believing God, and God is not a one miracle God, you know, in fact, it's multiple miracles, continuous supply can have from the Lord at any time. You know, sometimes we believe God for one thing and then the next thing comes around. We don't believe God anymore. That was the problem with the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, the greatest story in the Old Testament, the greatest story from Genesis to Malachi, greatest story that's in there is the story of the Exodus of the people of God out of bondage. It's the greatest story. You're not going to find anything quite as moving as that whole story. You know, how God, all the things that God did, the miracle upon miracle upon miracle upon miracle. I mean, it was incredible. Culminating even in the, you know, parting of the Red Sea and incredible things. Yet, time after time, that people would disbelieve God again and again and again. You know, and so finally, God had it up to here. It's like, how long will I suffer these people? How long will they disbelieve me or dishonor me? You know, I mean, God had done everything, showed them great deliverances and great miracles and brought them out to the high hand, even with silver and gold. You know, God allowed them to rob the Egyptians pretty much. You know, they just got everything. And those people were willing to give them everything just to get rid of them. Because they felt in their heart, until we get rid of these people, this place will not stop. God did all of that. And yet, the next time a little thing confronts them, or maybe they just go a few days journey and now there's no water, they start grumbling. And then God supplied the water, or maybe they see the water, but it's bitter. And they start to grumble because they don't believe that God that did the other thing can do this one as well. So they were not fully and intentionally trusting him in everything. You know, most of the time, actually, their hearts went back to Egypt, unfortunately. And God had to constantly deal with that. Well, let's not be like that. The greatest story in that Old Testament, it didn't actually end very well for most of them. You know, actually, most of the generation that came out of Egypt died in the wilderness because of their yo-yo method of believing God. One day they believe, the other day they don't believe. Next day they doubt, next day they grumble. And God didn't want any of that. But now, right now, we must fully and intentionally trust the Lord for everything. Always, you know, do a faith check. You know, am I believing him for this thing? And if you are struggling, go to him in prayers. That's why we have the Holy Spirit. You know, Holy Spirit is not there just to, you know, convict you of unrighteousness. He's there to help you of everything. You know, when you're not, can't fully believe, say, Lord, help my unbelief. I need to believe you for this thing, but I'm struggling. You know, most of the time, the reason we struggle is because we allow our natural senses to dictate, you know, what we are going to believe. You know, but God doesn't operate, faith does not operate in the realm of the natural senses. You know, faith is in another realm. You know, so, but if we allow our natural senses, you know, you look at the waves, you hear all the unbelieving things that you can't do that, and so on and so forth. And then you allow your mind to go, you know, you got to put all those things out. You know, sometimes the Lord had to get rid of some unbelief before he would do some miracles, you know. When he would go into, you know, maybe somebody, child that died in the house, put out the unbelief and then go in there because, you know, it's too much unbelief. Usually, you know, Christ worked all kinds of miracles. He healed all kinds of people every time they brought people to him. But there were some places where he couldn't even do that. Even in his own country, his own hometown, couldn't do many miracles there because of the people's unbelief. So unbelief will hinder miracles, will hinder the hand of God from moving in our lives, you know. And the thing that we do not want is when the Lord wants to do something, but we would not allow him because of our unbelief. Now, that is a dangerous place to be. You can read in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 58 how that Christ could not, even the Christ could not do many mighty works in certain places because of their unbelief. He couldn't do it. You know, now it's not that it wasn't within him. He didn't have the power, he lost his power. But their unbelief was preventing him from doing those miracles. So this teaches us a lesson. Faith, believing, unbelief, and doubt, all these things are portals. On the one hand, the negative portals of unbelief and doubt. On the other hand, the positive portals of faith and believing. You know, you can use right keys to open doors. And your faith and believing is what gives heaven permission. That's like you open the doors for the things that God can do. But the unbelief and the doubting will prevent us from getting anything from the Lord. You know, just like in this place, these people here, would you imagine it? I mean, they've heard and they've seen, you know, some miracles that Jesus has done in other places, you know, but, you know, when it came to certain things, they just couldn't believe the Lord. And unfortunately, well, he couldn't do many miracles there. It was in his own country, actually. Well, because the Bible says that, well, you know, a prophet has no honor in his own country. I mean, he's not without honor except in his own. That means everywhere else, they honor him. They hold him in regard. But among his own kin and among his own country, it's like, shh. And in fact, here's what they said to Jesus. When he came into his own country, Matthew chapter 13, verse 54, he taught them in their synagogue so much that they were astonished. And they said, from where does this man have this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? So they despised him. Is this not Joseph's son? I mean, is not his mother called Mary? I mean, his brothers, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas, and his sisters, are they not all here with us? I mean, where in the world did he get all these things from? And they were offended. You know? And Jesus said, well, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. You know? And because of familiarity, some people say familiarity breeds contempt. You know? They look down on him and say, look, this guy grew up in a carpenter's house. Who is he? Come and tell us these things. You know, what are his credentials? You know? And so Jesus could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Now, isn't that so sad? I mean, they should have been the one that take advantage of the Lord even more than everybody else. But he couldn't do it. Now, so let's engage the Lord fully in every aspect. Believing for the small things, believing for the great things. Believing for the great things, believing for the little things. Believing in all things, you know. For all things, I trust him. That's another way of that acronym, you know. F-I-F-A-I-T-H, you know. Fully and intentionally trusting him. But in all things, not just part here and part there. And that's the reason why sometimes things seem to work when we believe God, and sometimes they don't work. When we think we're believing God, it's because we didn't fully believe. So, in this year, by the grace of God, we must fully believe. Examine, Bible says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Always take that, do that health check. Personal health check, faith check. You know, are you walking in faith? Are you believing God for this thing? You know, yes, you believe God for the other thing, but are you believing God for this thing? Well, that's what Jesus said. Do you believe this? I know you believe that, but do you believe this? Praise God. So let's not just believe that. Let's also believe this. And not only believe this, also believe that. Believe this and believe that. And believe the other as well. Everything that we want from God, you know, we need to premise that upon our believing. Now, if you are doubtful, the book of James says, well, let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. You know, because when you are doubtful, you know, and you are double-minded, you are like a wind, something tossed in the wind, up and down. You know, you're not stable, you're yo-yo. And let not that person think that they will receive anything from the Lord. It is important when we are asking, you know, when we are asking from God, that we ask in faith. Nothing doubting and nothing wavering. Because he that wavereth is like, something that's tossed in the wind. And we cannot accept that we will, expect that we will get anything from the Lord. Well, let me read that to you. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth men liberally and upbraideth, and I shall give him. James chapter 1. Now verse 6. But let him ask in faith. That means it's not just wisdom. Anything actually that we lack or we need, we must ask in faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. You know, so it's very clear. These scriptures are clear. They're Sunday school material, but they are very clear. Look, when you are wavering and doubting, scripture is very clear. Don't even think that you are going to receive that thing or anything from the Lord. You know, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. When you are double-minded, well, maybe the Lord will heal me. Maybe the Lord won't. Maybe it's his will. Maybe it's not his will. Well, that's being double-minded. Well, in that case, you know, don't even think you're going to get anything. We need to be fully persuaded. Hallelujah. You know, I am persuaded. That's what Paul said. Well, are you? Paul, there was a lot of point blank, you know, bold statements that Paul made, such as, well, I am persuaded that neither life nor death, nor things present, nor things to come, nor principalities, nor powers, nor height, nor, you know, whether I'm up or down or any such thing. This man was persuaded, you know, that none of these things can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Well, are you persuaded that nothing can stop you, you know, from getting what you want from the Lord because you are believing his word and that he has said it and that your, you know, commander is chief, I told you, go forward. The Lord said, look, have I not commanded you? I've commanded you. Go forward. What are you standing around complaining about? Move forward. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I want to encourage us this year. Let's fully and intentionally. I've talked about fully. Let's talk about, you know, intentionally a bit more. I've alluded to it already. Intentionally is when you engage the thing point blank. You know, just don't just leave it to chance. You know, I mean, many people just leave things to chance. You know, instead of engaging, we leave things to chance. We let things just happen, you know, and then maybe we start to panic. You know, no, let's engage the Lord and believe God. Do you know that God is actually able to protect us, to deliver us from evil? These things are all over the scriptures. Psalm 34 verse 7 talks about it. Psalm 91 talks about it. You know, Psalm 121 talks about it. I mean, the Lord will preserve. You're going on, you're coming in, and all these things. And the Lord can actually do these things. You know, then why is it then that we still get into a car wreck or an accident or this and that? Well, maybe we did not fully engage. Now, remember, there's also spiritual wickedness in high places. So we must also be ready at all times and fully engage the Lord. And don't leave anything for chance. You know, I believe that if every day we're fully engaging the Lord's protection for ourselves and our families, you know, we will avoid many of these things. Praise the Lord. You know, I believe if we are fully engaging the Lord, you know, in his ability to supply our needs, you know, we will, you know, we will have less reason to run to the world for help. The reason we run to the world for help is because we're not fully engaging the Lord. And we're not patient. You know, sometimes the Lord wants us to be patient and just wait for the salvation of the Lord. But sometimes we don't exercise that patience and we just run off, run to the world, go and get a loan and this and that. That may not be the way that God wants to solve the problem. But you got to wait on the Lord. You know, here's how the psalmist puts it. You know, when you wait on the Lord, let's look at how he talked about it in Psalm 40. You know, he said, look, I waited patiently for the Lord. Now, that's something that some of us, you know, need to develop. We're not patient many times. And we run off. You know, but let's patiently wait for the salvation of the Lord, because his ways are not our ways. The way you think the Lord is going to do it may not be the way the Lord wants to do it. So you got to wait for the salvation of the Lord. And if you do, he will incline his voice unto his ears unto your voice, and he will hear your cry. The psalmist said, he brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Well, you know, and of the miry clay, you know, when you are sinking in quicksand and you are struggling, you sink even deeper. You better wait for the Lord to throw you that lifeline, to get you out of there. You know, and he set me upon my rock, my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he put a new song. Now, all of this because he waited patiently for the Lord. So we must wait patiently for the Lord. Now, sometimes the Lord will tell you to go forward. Sometimes he'll tell you to wait for the moving of the Spirit upon the tops of the mulberry trees. You know, whichever way, we need to hear his instructions. Yeah, and as long as you are following the instructions of the Lord, you're actually going forward. Even if the instruction was for you to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, you know, as long as, because, you know, even in the military, there'll be times you advance, there'll be times you hold your position, and then there are times you advance, there's times you hold your position, you know, but you are still advancing, you know, and you're just following the lead of the commander, you know, so we must fully engage the Lord this year. Leave nothing to chance and leave no part. If you have 10 things that you are believing the Lord for, don't believe for just 8 of them, and then the remaining 2, you're like, well, okay, I don't know if the Lord's going to be able to do that one. You know, I have to take matters to my hands. You know, and that's not going to work. Fully. And then intentionally. Intentionally also means, look, you know, the Lord always told them, he said, look, I told you these things in advance so that when it comes to pass, you will know that I'm the one that did it. It didn't just happen by chance. That means you write it down. You know what you are believing God for. It's not just some random thing that happened. You know, that's why I always encourage people, be specific in your prayers. When you believe in God for something specific, be specific about it. Don't just pray and say, the Lord should bless you. He has already blessed you. What is it exactly you want him to do? You know, the story that Jesus told, or the lesson that he gave about, you know, when we're asking to believe God. He said, look, those of you who are parents, fathers, there's none of you that will give your child stone if he asks for bread. He said, would you do it? He said, no. I said, well, if you, being evil in nature, always know how to give good things to your children, how much God? How much more God? You know, but in that lesson, we see that there was something the Lord was calling out. Specifics. The young boy asked for bread, so the father could not give him a stone. Has to give him bread, because that's what he asked for. Now, that would be different if the young boy had said, Father, give me something. Well, if you say give him something, then he can give you a stone, because you asked for something. You know, so let's not ask for something that is vague. Be specific. If you need bread, ask for bread. If you need fish, ask for fish. If you need egg, ask for egg. Then you will get the specific. You won't get something. You know, so, I mean, like I said, these are simple, but they are necessary because Jesus taught the same principles throughout his lessons. And we must fully engage the Lord and intentionally trust him. Now, what is trust? You know, what is trust? There are so many broken relationships today due to trust, or lack of trust, or loss of trust, or misplaced trust. You know, the same thing with our relationship with God. He trusts us, and we must trust him. We trust him, and he trusts us. Now, we also need to prove ourselves to earn trust, even in natural life. That's the way it is, you know. But God already knows our abilities. He already knows what you can and cannot endure. And he's not going to put more upon you than you can endure. Now, the devil, on the other hand, he'll put a whole lot upon you that you cannot endure. In fact, that's his tactic. He'll put things on you that he knows will break you. Now, God doesn't do that. You know, so, but in this trust thing, it's a two-way relationship. We trust him and he trusts us. And many times God trusts us and we let him down. He trusts us. He knows you can handle the situation. I mean, he knows you can handle. So he goes to sleep in the boat. He knows you can take care of business. And then he goes to sleep. And then we disappoint him, rush to him and cry, Lord, don't you care that we perish? And then he gets up and he's disappointed. Why is it that you are so fearful? How come it is you have no faith? See, he trusted them that they could handle the situation, but they disappointed him. Now, so trust is both ways. Now, we must trust him that what he has said he would do, that is what he's going to do. That's why Jesus would take a little child and put them in the midst and say, look, except you be converted and become as this little child, you can't enter the kingdom. The reason is that these children, they just implicitly trust their parents. The parent says one thing, the child's going to latch onto it. That's it. They just believe and latch onto it. you know, and if you tell the child, oh, I'm going to take you someplace, they're never going to forget it, especially if it's something they want. They're going to remind you over and over again until you are sore of hearing it. And you better do it, because they're not going to let go. That's how children are. They just tell you, you know, that they trust that you're going to do the thing that you said. You know, they don't think that, oh, he's not going to be able to do it, you know. They just, because you said you're going to do it, they just trust you that you're going to do it. Praise the Lord. You know, so most of the time the kids also, they put their hands, their lives in the life of their parents without even thinking. You know, you tell them to jump, I'll catch you, they'll jump because you know you're going to catch them. You know, so, I mean, we must trust the Lord just like he trusts us. But we need to trust him more because he's already trusted us. He's giving us the Holy Spirit. If he didn't trust us, he wouldn't give us the Holy Spirit. Because he said the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit. So if you have the Holy Spirit, well, the Lord's trusted that you are not in the world anymore. You are not part of the world. That's why I give you the Holy Spirit. It's not for the world. Now, Jesus, that's for the world. You know, God so loved the world that he gave Jesus. But the Holy Ghost, no, that's not for the world. It's called the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive. So that's for the church. And if you have the Holy Spirit, God's trusted you to give you the Holy Spirit. And then we need to trust the Holy Spirit in a companionship walk of faith. And let's believe God fully. Well, that's my exhortation today to us. Wrap it up is we must fully believe the Lord. Not believe God for one thing and leave other parts out. It's kind of like when God instructs us to do something, we do part of it and we leave other part out. Just like Saul, he did one part, he left other part out and he said, well, I've done it. And Samuel said, oh, you did not do it. And he still argued and said, I did it. No, you did not, because you did not fully engage the word of the Lord. And that was the problem with the children of Israel. They did not sanctify the Holy One of Israel and sanctify the word of promise in their hearts all the time. They took part of it, but not all of it. We must take all, that's A-L-L. Now, there are many scriptures I could give, but I want to keep this short. We must take all. Also, we must be intentional. You know, just don't leave things up to chance. If we are sick, we need to be intentional about getting our healing. If we need advancement, we're believing God. We have to be intentional for that. You can't just leave it up to chance and say, well, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. And I praise the Lord if it happens. No. You got to believe God first, you know. First, we show God our faith before we see the results. That's what God told. That's what Jesus told Thomas. He said, when Thomas finally saw and put his hands in the place where he was wounded, he said, oh, now I believe. My God, my Lord, and my God. He said, oh, now you believe because you have seen. But Jesus said, well, blessed are those who have not seen, but yet believe. Well, you know, actually, we have seen in the spirit. We just haven't seen it physically. The other day I covered, you know, how the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. In the spirit, we see. Because faith sees the unseen. That's right. You know, what we cannot see naturally, faith can see that already. And then believing is the journey that gets you there. Hallelujah. You know, so once we believe, I mean, once we see by faith what the Holy Spirit has revealed is coming, then we walk in believing towards that. And that's how we get these things done. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so important for us to believe God for the things that God's going to do this year. You may not know how it's going to come, but you must believe it's going to come. And it's not for us to figure out how he's going to do it, but it's for us to believe that he's going to do it. That's what he wants. If you can only believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And the Lord already knows the end from the beginning. That's where trust comes from. You know, you trust the Lord that he knows where you are. He's taking you. You know, it's kind of like, you know, when we enter the plane or enter the bus or the train or whatever. We just have this implicit trust that the person who's driving knows where they're going. Flying the plane or, you know, running the train or whatever. And they know where they're taking us. Well, we've got to trust the Lord that he knows how to get us there. And that's putting our faith into action becomes believing. We're going to pray a prayer here today to say, Lord, help me to fully and intentionally trust you every day. That's why Jesus taught the disciples that prayer. Say, you know, give us this day our daily bread. You know, not 1 year supply and then you quit trusting the Lord. He wants you to come back every day. So he gives you daily. We need to renew our reconnection with him daily. Daily contact that will prevent snares. Praise the Lord. Now, Father, I pray for myself and the hearers today that, Lord, teach us how to fully engage you in all things. Not 90%, not even 99%, but 100% in all things at all times. And to be intentional in our believing you as we trust you, because we know that you have the capacity to do it and even more. And help us, O Lord, as we believe you, that any areas of unbelief in us, let the Holy Spirit reveal such things. Now, we got to pray that prayer. I want you to pray with me now and say, Lord, reveal to me areas of unbelief. That's so important. You know, many of us carry unbelief around, but we're not asking the Holy Spirit to help us. You know, and that will be, you know, something that we're going to have to give account to the Lord for. The Lord will say, why did you not trust me, the Holy Spirit, to help you with that? You know, so a lot of people, when they get before the Lord, they're going to be sorry. They didn't trust God for that area of, sometimes people say, well, that's my weakness. That's my this. Well, the Lord will say, well, why didn't you trust me to help you with that? You know, so now let's trust the Lord to help us. So I want everybody to pray. Just take a minute or two and pray for yourself and say, Lord, I believe you. And I want to make the 2024 Hall of Faith. That's right. I want my story in there of the ones that will experience a quantum leap from the Lord, because I'm believing God. And Lord, teach me, show me areas where I am not believing fully, and help me, teach me what to do. Hallelujah. And when we come to him in simplicity, he'll do it too. Yeah, arrogance and pride is what will keep us away from asking him in simplicity to help us. You know, let's come to him, ask him to help us. The man said, help thou my unbelief. And the Lord helped. And the Lord will help us also in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit that is given us to help us in our journey. And this year, we want to fully and intentionally trust you for all things and in all things. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will guide us, will show us areas even in our life where we're not fully believe in him and help our unbelief. And we trust you, Lord, for mighty results, mighty exploits, and great testimonies of faith throughout this year as we learn to fully and intentionally trust you in all things and for all things. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen and amen.